everyone, and thanks for joining us on Books on Demand, a show that introduces the excellence of Korean literature to the world, exploring notable literary works. Today we'll talk about Choi Jung-hwa's The Hand. I'm your host, Lena Kwon, and I'll be back shortly. It's been more than a month since five little kids set up their hangout near my house at dawn in the gloom before sunrise. There were two boys and three girls in that group, but I've never actually seen them myself. I only gleaned a few facts just from hearing their voices. They started hanging out with one another rather recently. A boy and a girl were vying with each other for the leader spot. As I kept listening in a sleepy stupor to the loud commotion they were making, I came to believe things that I never witnessed, almost as facts. Choi Jung-hwa's The Hand was published in 2018. The story starts with the narrator's monologue about how she wakes up to the sound of children early in the morning. On my way to work that day, I stopped in front of a flower bed I used to pass by casually because I saw something strange. What I saw was a dead sparrow. The sparrow, lying on its side with its white underbelly exposed, was very small and wet from the rain. I thought for a fleeting moment that I should bury it, but I was late for work. The narrator couldn't shake off the thought of that little sparrow during a meeting or at lunch. Who could have killed it? Could it have been the children? But she didn't want to believe the children were cruel enough to kill a bird. Then, she remembered a suspicious man.
I remembered a man from the sixth floor, who loitered in front of the building like a stray cat, rummaging through garbage bags for food. He seemed to be out of work. His sole hobby was watching TV dramas. The first thing he talked about when he saw me was TV dramas. He got all worked up as if the events on the shows actually happened. The show that he was into lately was an American crime drama. He claimed that he could predict what the characters in the show would say and do. He said that he watches an episode more than 10 times, and that he even can memorize all the lines. But the scenes that he can now predict accurately ended up tormenting him, so he developed another hobby. He started acting like a self-appointed sheriff of our housing complex. He would patrol the complex with his typical blank face, and when something that he perceived as disruptive happened, he would fulfill his sense of duty with all the passion and commitment he could muster, no matter how small and trivial that incident might be.
That evening, the man from the sixth floor was standing at the building entrance, quite angry. He was there to catch a resident who failed to use a recyclable trash bag. Did he see the sparrow? If he did, he would have thought long and hard about which trash bin he should use to dispose of the dead bird. The dead sparrow wasn't food waste, and it wasn't general trash or recyclable goods either. So it would have caused him great confusion. His imagination was so limited that he wouldn't even have thought that the dead bird had once been alive. The narrator had recently been dismayed at the disappearance of a close coworker. 2 weeks had passed since Park disappeared, but the narrator still asked herself what Park would have done to solve the problems he faced. Park disappeared after causing a huge loss to the company, but the narrator still didn't want to hear other office mates badmouth him, because she actually considered Park a pretty decent person. The person who took Park's place was Ha.
I tried to be as nice to him as possible, but unpleasant feelings tend to show through no matter what, and Ha's face looked gloom as he shook hands with me. We were both smiling with our lips, but our eyes wandered aimlessly and our handshake was limp like a loose hinge. When Ha withdrew his hand, I was reminded of a small fish swimming limply. That mushy and fluid sensation was foreign and powerful enough to jolt me awake from a sleep-deprived daze. Contrary to his angular and sharp looks, his hands were too soft. Since he was Pock's replacement, he was seated next to me. But even when I sat sideways to avoid seeing him, I found myself stealing glances at his hands. His hands appeared devoid of any muscle. He cut his fingernails so close that the skin at the tip of his fingers was red. I was drawing up a seating chart for an outdoor event scheduled for next week, but my thoughts were captivated by the movement of his hands. He had a 330-milliliter tube of hand cream on his desk and applied it once every 15 minutes. Just when I managed to concentrate and started working, he picked up that hand cream as if he were watching the time. I felt as if I was under some strange torture. Ha rebelled against me after just 1 week. He said that Pock hadn't done an efficient job. He then changed his mind a few days later. He said that Pock's workability wasn't the problem, but claimed that Pock must have made several different files for some dubious purposes. That was like accusing Pock of being a crook.
The narrator was fixated on the new co-worker's hands. Here's Seoul National University's Korean literature professor Pang Min-ho explaining the relationship between Ha's hands and the man from the sixth floor.
이 주인공의 시선에 비친 하라는 인물의 손.
The narrator is fixated on the velvety and supple hands of her new coworker. He seems to be a sort of neat freak who's obsessed with moisturizing his hands every 15 minutes. But what does this mean, the fact that Ha is a neat freak? His obsession doesn't seem to end with personal hygiene. It extends to his compulsion to discover his predecessor's corruption. This characteristic overlaps with the man from the sixth floor who watches his neighbors and interferes in their affairs. Ha's hands represent his obsession with cleanliness, but also implies that he violates the other's privacy and condemns them based on his personal principles.
The narrator realized that something was wrong with the children. They're very agitated and nearly screaming. The unpleasant noise from the children drove her to the edge and she woke up with the intent to chase them away. But just when she was about to leave the room, the children and their noise went away. As if the children were watching her all along, the ruckus disappeared just when she could no longer bear it.
That morning, the dead sparrow was left unearthed on the flower bed. Somebody must have dug it up from the grave. The decomposed bird was so damaged that it hardly resembled the sparrow I saw before. The bird's overall shape was scarcely recognizable, since some parts were hollowed out as if something picked at them. I didn't want to see it, so I looked away before I could smell the stink. I broke off a tree branch and started digging the ground with it. I stopped digging when the hole was deep enough and pushed the dead bird into the hole with the stick. I breathed out a long sigh of relief when it fell into the hole. Could it have been the children after all? I remembered their loud ruckus that could have been either a scream or a cheer. All my guesswork overnight was in vain.
The narrator's working relationship with Ha turned sour. Ha tried to explain Park's faults directly to the company president, but the narrator didn't let him, claiming that it was her job to report any employee misconduct to their boss. Ha no longer mentioned Park to her after that. Then one day, Ha suddenly asked her if she had lent Park any money. No way. The narrator warned her coworker not to ask her anything that could invade her privacy. I didn't like people bad-mouthing Park. It was particularly hard for me to listen to them maligning his character. Those who spoke harshly of Park would have done something much worse if they were in his position. Park was just in a bind. He didn't mean to cause us trouble. The narrator woke up one day to the sound of blaring sirens. A police car and an ambulance were parked in front of our building.
A short while later, someone draped in white cloth was wheeled out on a stretcher. The cover was white when it came out of the building, but it soon bloomed with red spots as if flower petals landed on it. I thought, the right hand. The blood started to seep from where the person's right hand would have been. Was it a suicide attempt, I thought? I remembered reading somewhere that people who try to commit suicide by slashing their wrists actually don't mean to kill themselves. My neighbor stood gawking, and yellow police lines were put up around the premise. A man in handcuffs was led out of the building. He was wearing a set of yellowing underwear. He was short with a round face, and his hair was unkempt. I knew that he was not the one who had done it. His underwear was too clean, with not a spot of blood. When my thought reached the possibility that he could have stabbed the other person with his whole body wrapped in plastic, I didn't want to deduce anymore, so I closed the window.
And on her way to work, she spotted the dead sparrow again. The flower bed was turned over again. The children must have dug up the hole once more. The bird remains mixed with the mud from last night's rain no longer looked like a sparrow. I thought it had gone too far. I couldn't fathom why the children would do something like this. She decided to bury the bird in another spot. She dug up a hole at the other end of the flower bed and was just about to move the carcass with a dustpan when she realized that the man from the sixth floor was watching the whole thing from a few feet away. I was wondering who was digging up the flower bed. Someone kept digging up the sparrow grave. I'm burying it again. A sparrow? I don't care if you're burying a sparrow or a dog. Just put everything back as it were. But have you seen what happened early this morning? That was a domestic issue. I suddenly remember the man in handcuffs. That made no sense. I had never seen that man's hands closely, but the white, stubby hands in handcuffs suddenly showed up in front of my eyes. The narrator recalled the handcuffed man's hands as she talked with the man from the sixth floor. Here's literary critic Chun So-young to explain to us why the narrator keeps obsessing about the hands.
그 나라는 1인칭의 화자의 시점으로 이야기가 전개가 될 때는 독자는 나가 보여주는 광경과 나의
When a story is written from the perspective of a first-person narrator, readers tend to believe everything that the narrator says and shows. But we need to be skeptical of the narrator occasionally because the information provided could be false or distorted. Readers tend to trust the narrator in the story because we are led to believe that she observes those around her very carefully and makes rational decisions. But as the story progresses, we see that she is obsessed with the hands of her co-workers and neighbors. At first, we think that people around her are strange, but we end up realizing that the narrator is the weirdest of them all.
이상한데, 비정상적인데 하다가 다시금 잘 들여다보면 6층 남자나 하 같은 사람은 비교적 평범하고 주인공이 제일 독특하다는 걸 발견하게 됩니다.
Having been held up by the sixth-floor man, the narrator was late to work only to find her co-workers all upset. Park's girlfriend had shown up earlier that day and claimed that he had scammed her out of $10 million. She must have trusted Park like I had. The fact that I wasn't the only one scammed by Park was more devastating to me than when he disappeared without saying a word. I had to wake up from the dream that I was the only one special to Park. The narrator opened up Park's personal file. The photo on his resume didn't look like him, and some of the previous workplaces he had listed didn't exist at all. That night, Ha again raised the issue of Park's misconduct at the company dinner. He added that there must be more victims to his fraud. That was when a waiter who was grilling the meat let out a yell and hit his fist behind his back. Oh, it's nothing. I'm fine. I just burned my finger on the pot handle. The waiter went on grilling the meat. A long white line along his index finger began to swell up and soon formed a red welt. Seeing his burn at the same time with the meat being cooked on the grill, felt quite bizarre. The man from the sixth floor was again spotted walking back and forth the vacant lot. I saw something strange on the flower bed. Wasn't it a sparrow? I also saw a dead sparrow there just a few days ago. It wasn't a sparrow. Someone had buried a hand there.
He stopped exactly at the spot where I had found the dead sparrow. It was dark, but I could discern the bird's remains. The man illuminated the flower bed with his flashlight. The bird's wings bones were placed neatly in a row on top of the soil. I was relieved to see that they were just wing bones arranged neatly on the ground. "I told you it's a sparrow. That was here before." Since the man seemed so nervous, I tried to put on a casual air. "I buried a bird here a few days ago. Somebody must have dug it up again. Look closely. It's only a sparrow." The man looked at me incredulously as if I were the crazy one. He was the one who was crazy. He hadn't gone outside in this area around the building for several months now. He must have lost his mind from watching the same TV show over and over again. "Hey, get real. This isn't a TV show. Some children must have dug it up. You know, those children who come to this building to play every morning." "What the heck are you talking about?" The man shoved me roughly. He mumbled that everyone must have gone crazy after that incident. He spat on the ground before disappearing without even saying goodbye to me. He was limping, and his body was listed a little to the left. As I watched him walk up the stairs, I concluded that he wouldn't be able to walk straight in a few years.
Literary critic Chun So-young explains what actually happened between the narrator and the man.
나는 그 참새라고 분명하게 믿고 있었는데 6층 남자가 그게 손이라고 확인을 시켜줬죠. 작중에 내가 망상증이나 허언증에 걸린 상태였다고도 볼 수 있을 것 같아요.
The narrator believed that it was a bird when the man maintained that it was a hand. We can assume that the narrator could have been delusional or lying. We don't know who and what to believe. The writer wanted to tell us that people see the world in whatever way they want and sometimes become so entrapped in those perspectives that they end up misunderstanding others or their surroundings. The bird wasn't really a bird, but someone's hand, giving rise to several different conjectures. However, I did think that the narrator could be the perpetrator and the severed hand could have belonged to Park. Judging from the circumstances, the narrator could have been in a romantic relationship with him and took care of him after finding out about his betrayal. But that's just my guess. There could be many other possibilities.
정황상 주인공과 박은 돈 거래를 넘어서는 어떤 치정 관계에 놓였던 것 같기도 하고 그런 상황에서 주인공이 배신감을 느끼고 박을 처리한 것은 아닐까 그런 추정을 해볼 수도 있죠. 물론 다른 가능성도 있습니다.
And that's all we have for this week's edition of Books on Demand. We'll be back next week with another notable Korean literary work for you to enjoy and ponder over. I've been your host, Lena Kwon. Thanks for listening.